Good morning. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. just on a side note, real quick, I was encouraged by our brother, just again, encouraging the saints to meet in person. I know that's been something we have not seen all that consistently over the last couple years. And I think sometimes as humans, we become creatures of habit, right? And so sometimes when you're home for a while, it's easy to stay home. It's certainly a lot more convenient, especially on cold mornings like today, to come out. But one of the things he shared, that verse there where it says, don't forsake the assembly of one to another. That alone, right? Just that command should cause us to meet here. But the interesting thing about that verse is it says that the reason why we're to meet together is to stir up love and good works. I don't know about you, but until I had that study of that verse, I never knew that love and good works had to be stirred up. You know, but according to that verse, it does. You know, and so we're called to love and we're called to do good works. So if you want to do that, one of the ways you do that is you come and you meet together so that those things can get stirred up in you. I think we're seeing a lot of stagnant love and no good works because everybody's home, comfy. So just an encouragement to everyone is that, you know, we got to be careful. There's a reason why we are to assemble together. We are come together. And technology is nice. It allows us to do that when, you know, cases are high and things like that. But we do not want to make a habit of it. Isaiah 43, this is something that, for myself, this is always the case, but probably maybe even more so this time is there are sometimes when you preach, where this is really a message for you, like for me, I'm saying. So this morning is one of those ones that, just something I've been meditating on, this new year, kind of since December up until now, so I'm really preaching to myself this morning, and I'm letting you guys listen, okay? And I'm hoping and praying that it'll encourage you, but also maybe even equip you for the work of the ministry. But Isaiah 43, we're only just going to be looking at two verses this morning, but we're going to read just a few more for a little bit of context here. So we're going to begin in verse 14 of Isaiah 43. It says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. And I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together and they shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me and the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my praise. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word again this morning. Let's just pray. Our Father in heaven, thanks again for your Son, the Lord Jesus. It is so good to know him this morning. Thank you for the relationship that we can have with him because of his finished work at Calvary. And we're also so grateful for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the opportunity to hear and even understand the things of God. And so we would just pray even this morning that if you would be so gracious as to allow us to hear your voice, that we would not harden our hearts. We ask all these things that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing we're going to look at here is a radical departure. A radical departure. The reason I say that is the context here is at this point, Isaiah is prophesying that the people of God, right, Israel, they're in exile. They are taken captive by the Babylonian Empire. And here is prophesied that they're going to be released. They're going to be able to go back to Jerusalem. And in this context here, he mentions, right, in verses 16 and 17, the last exodus, right? The first exodus, where they were delivered from Egypt, right? And you'll see there that he's talking about the Red Sea. Perhaps when you look at the Old Testament and you look at all the mighty works of God, I mean, that might be right up there at the top, right? The crossing of the Red Sea. But what jumped out at me was here God brings to their mind that great deliverance, right? The first exodus and how they crossed the Red Sea and how the Egyptian army was annihilated, right? And yet, in verse 18, the prophet addressing Israel says, but I don't want you to remember those things. He says, do not remember the former things. Don't even consider the things of old. Again, the context here, I think the former things that Isaiah is referring to is their deliverance from Egypt. The crossing of the Red Sea, he's telling them, hey, listen, I don't want you to remember those things. What? I don't want you to consider the crossing of the Red Sea. To me, I just think it's a fascinating and instructive switch between verses 16 and 17 and verse 18. In verses 16 and 17, right, it's almost as if Israel is told to look to the past by remembering the great things God had done for them at the Red Sea. But in verse 18, they're told not to remember the former things or to consider the things of old. So I think there's a sense here, right, where we must remember the past in terms of God's great work, right, on our behalf. But there's also this sense here that God, through the revelation of His Holy Spirit, right, through Isaiah's words here, that we must forget the past and move on to what God has for us in the future. Now, when you consider the great acts of the Exodus, right? They must have seemed so large, right, in Israel's memory against such a backdrop, if you will, of the smallness of their lives in exile. I would imagine, right, as they're living in captivity and in Babylon, away from their home, right, they must have talked about what the Lord did once upon a time, right? I mean, why wouldn't you, right? To think about that great time when they were delivered and the crossing of the Red Sea and God had brought them into the promised land. They'd remember the Lord's acts of deliverance. And perhaps all the while forgetting about the Lord's promise to deliver them from Babylon, which had been prophesied. You see, according to verse 19, right, Isaiah tells them, hey, listen, God is doing a new thing. What's meant by that is actually God is doing something, right, that He has never in all of human history done before. The works which the Lord will perform yet in the future in order to deliver Israel, okay, will be so very mighty and so stupendous that the miracles that He performed at the time of the Exodus will seem as nothing in comparison. In fact, the prophet is saying that what God is going to do, this new thing that God's going to do, is actually the great things that he did before will be overshadowed by this. They're going to be overshadowed by the greatness and the power of these future delivering acts. On this very point even, the prophet Jeremiah even talks about it. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 7 and 8, he says this. And he goes, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, 'As the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt,' but 'As the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land.'" Even Jeremiah says, listen, there's coming a day where you're not even going to talk about what God did in that great Exodus and the cross of the Red Sea. God is doing something so new and so great that it's going to overshadow everything that God has done before this. You think, oh, man, how can that be? When you consider, right, the deliverance of Egypt, and you consider the Red Sea, you're like, whew, that was pretty mighty. That was pretty amazing. Now, even with that being said, right, such a promise, right, that God was going to have this radical departure again, where God was going to deliver them from Babylon. Given the strength of Babylon, right, and you consider like the dreary routine of Israel's lives, it would kind of seem like nonsense, wouldn't it? That God was going to deliver them from Babylon. I wonder, again, because of the context here, I wonder, with Israel's minds oriented solely on the past and therefore comfortable with the captivity of the present, that they were not able to perceive what the Lord was going to do. The Lord reminds Israel of the Exodus, I'm sure, in order to show, you know, the validity of the promise, right? Listen, here's what God did before. Listen, God's going to do something again. And I think that's important, right? The people should call to mind, right, and ponder the things of the Exodus. Yes, but not to glorify the good old days. You see, the Exodus should burn in their memories as a light, calling attention to the great things the Lord is yet to do. Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? Right? On that last night there, right? As they celebrated Passover. What was Passover? Passover was them remembering, right, the great Exodus. Right? They celebrated that together. They were told to. Right? They celebrated God's deliverance. And Jesus celebrated it with his disciples. And he remembered the Exodus in order, right, to show them the new Exodus that was bursting on the scene, right? And that was the Exodus of bondage from sin as he institutes the Lord's Supper, right? One that we celebrated this morning. So my question is, right, what causes us to glory or to glorify the things of the past? What causes us to do that? Do we glorify the things of the past because the present seems so boring, or the present maybe seems too painful? Do we glorify the things of the past because maybe we're skeptical about the future? Do we ponder the things of the past when, I mean, I don't know what it might be. It's maybe the when you got saved, right? Or maybe moments in your past where the Lord revealed himself to you in miraculous ways, perhaps, right? Do we ponder the things of the past just to glorify them? I think sometimes when we do that, right, we actually settle into some kind of captivity, mediocrity, spiritual deadness. And I'd like to share with you this morning, I think this is a condition that we cannot tolerate. If we tolerate it, I think that we'll miss out. Okay? Our ability to perceive and appreciate spiritual things, I think we'll grow dull. So here we have this radical departure, right? God is going to do something that he has never done before in human history. And yet he has to tell the people of God, hey, listen, stop glorifying in the past. What I'm about to do here is going to overshadow all of that. Maybe he had to tell them that because they had become complacent. Right? Maybe there was a sense of mediocrity, a spiritual dullness, because the fact that God was going to do something like this maybe seemed nonsense to them. It was just much easier to glorify in what God had done. You know, remember when God did that? When we do that, we exclude the God of the present and the God of the future. When we glorify solely in the past, right, we don't expect God to act. Right? We expect things to continue just as they are. We're not open to new things. We're not open to new ways of thinking. We're not open to new ways of doing things. We settle into bad patterns, often without even knowing it. And these patterns, right, they rob us of the freedom and the liveliness and the hope. We miss God's great acts of the present because we're too often glorifying in the past. But not only that, right, we lose hope for the great acts in the future. We people, we were talking about this morning when I came in, right? We tend to be creatures of habit, right? Right? I'm sure everybody's sitting in the same seat they sat in last time. Right? It's just we are, right? We're creatures of habit. And regarding our walk with the Lord, right? We get used to the things that the Lord has been doing in our lives. And then suddenly, we can really not be open to the Lord doing something new in our lives or something new through us. But we need to be open, right, to what the Lord is doing, right? We need to be open to whatever the Lord has, right, for us in our lives each day. And we also ought to realize that he may very well lead us in a way that we have never been down before. I guess the question is, do you believe that what God has for you in your life yet to come, right, is so wonderful? Right? So wonderful can God's future be, your future be, okay? In fact, I believe that so wonderful can God's future be on your behalf, right, that all the past ones will be forgotten in comparison. So here Isaiah gives this strong exhortation, right? Do not remember the former things, right? Do not consider the things of the past, because God is doing a new thing. And what he says, right? I love this. He goes, do you not perceive it? Right? Right? He says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Shall you not know it? Or we could just say this, can't you see it? I wonder how many of us here, God has something new in store for us, something so great, and yet we are so stuck in the past that he's got to tell us this morning, I'm doing a new thing. Why can't you see it? Open your eyes. Yeah, you're right. It's nothing like what I've done in your life before. I'm doing something different. I'm doing something new. I think this question is vital, right, to understanding how dwelling in the past affects us, right? The fact is that when we're caught up with the thoughts and the events of the past, right, wallowing in the hurts and pains of yesterday, We become oblivious to the new things that the Lord is doing all around us. That's why God has to ask us, do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? You see, the perceptions of someone who struggles with letting go of the past, literally, their perceptions become dull. It keeps them from seeing the good things that the Lord is doing all around them. Listen, I don't know about you. It could be just me, but man, ever since this pandemic, that's all I hear from Christians, right? Is complaining and talking about how terrible things are. You never hear anybody talk about all the good things that God is doing right now. Maybe it's because, like I said, these last couple years, right, we've experienced things that we've never experienced before. We've had to meet in ways we've never met before. All these different things that we've had to deal with. They're like, well, listen, God, I want to go back to the way it was. It was more comfortable then. Keep dealing with me the way you dealt with me before. I don't like this new stuff. And we've become dull to perhaps new things that God is doing. That he has to ask us, don't you see it? Even now, do you believe that the Lord, right, may be doing something new in your life? Right? If he is, right now, right, as Isaiah says here, he says, behold, I do a new thing, right? Now it shall spring forth, right? Now it is springing forth. Are you aware of it? Will you be aware of it? Now listen, this new thing that God has for you, right? It may not feel like the other things that have happened. Things that maybe happened to you recently or in years past, right? That maybe you've settled for. It may feel like something that you felt in the more distant past. It may feel something like deliverance. At first, it may feel like death. Think of the Israelites, right? That great Exodus, right? That great act of deliverance that first time. They're sitting there at the Red Sea, the shore of the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army is coming down on them. They're thinking, that's great, we're going to die. Not even knowing in that very short time that God was going to do something that he had never done before. And parting of the Red Sea. They walk on dry land across the sea. And then after that, they watch the entire Egyptian army just extinguished. Prior to that, you think they were thinking that? No, they're thinking, man, we're going to die. So listen, brothers and sisters, that whatever that new thing that God has you going through right now, or it's coming, right? It may feel like death. It may not feel like anything you've ever had before. You may feel like you're going to die. But in reality, right, the old way always dies. The old way has to die so that the Lord can give birth to a new way. Earlier for the Israelites, it was through the sea. Now, it is a way through the wilderness. So that's the second thing we see here. We don't just see this radical departure where God has said, hey, listen, I'm going to deliver you from Babylonian captivity. I'm going to set you free. But he says, and listen, I'm going to actually make a road in the wilderness. Right? He's going to make a road in the wilderness. And this is the first of these future acts, right, that Isaiah is prophesying, that God is going to do, this new thing that God's going to do. Now, the way here that the prophet is speaking, right, it will not be something that man has constructed. Okay, it will be by divine power, just as the way which the Lord made through the Red Sea. It will be just as literal, just as actual as the opening of the Red Sea. Now, you got to understand, between, right, Babylon and where God wants to send them back, right, there's about hundreds of miles of wilderness. Hundreds of miles. God's people, right, maybe, I don't know, maybe part of it wasn't even the fact that they were so stuck in the past that they just kind of just couldn't see what God was going to do. But even maybe those that said, okay, maybe God is going to deliver us, but there's no way we're going to get through that wilderness. Look at it. We got hundreds of miles of wilderness before us. Maybe they were afraid. We actually know, right, that not everybody went back. Only a remnant went back. They were content with staying in Babylon. But here, right, God says, I'm going to make a road in the desert. I'm going to make a road. But it will be by divine power, just as the way which the Lord made through the Red Sea. God's people didn't need to be afraid because God would make a road for them. When he delivered them the first time, right, we had the Red Sea that stood in the way of deliverance when God freed them from Israel. Here now, the wilderness stands in the way of deliverance as the Lord frees them from Babylon. We know Babylon many times in Scripture is a picture of sin, right? A lot of times Babylon controls us, right? The wilderness looms before us, right? But I love that verse there in verse 14. Did you catch that? In verse 14 of Isaiah says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon. Yeah, the Lord has sent to Babylon, hasn't he? Right? To liberate us. Okay? And he's going to make a way in the wilderness back to Jerusalem. Back to intimacy with him. I don't know about you, but right, a lot of times when you're somewhere, maybe none of us have been in the desert or in the wilderness, but maybe we've been in the woods. Maybe we've been in a cornfield. I don't know where you've been. But sometimes, right, when you're out there and you don't know where you are and you know where you're going, sometimes it's easy to get lost, right? Maybe it's because you've never passed this way before. Maybe even in your car, right, and you're driving, right? If it's some ways you've never been before, right, it's easy sometimes to get lost. It's easy to get lost in the wilderness. But the Lord here, Isaiah says, the Lord will make a way. He will make a way. Brothers and sisters, right there, do you believe that God may be doing a new thing in your life right now? Right? Right now it's springing out and listen, you might be afraid, right? You might think, man, I have never been this way before. So God, I'm afraid. Right? Isn't it cool to know that God said, hey, listen, the road is being cut. You're not going to have to worry about getting lost. You're not going to have to worry about how you're going to get through this. I'm making a road for you. Hey, the road is being cut as we speak. And listen, here's the thing, right, is that whatever this new thing that God is doing in your life, right, what's the ultimate goal, right? What was the purpose of this with Israel? Is he wanted them back to Jerusalem, right? He wanted them back to intimacy with him. Isn't that the purpose of everything with us, right? Right? The journeys that we're on, brothers and sisters, the things that come into our lives, the purpose of it, right, is so that we can increase our intimacy with our Savior. That's what God wants. Right? And not only that, sometimes, right, in those wilderness journeys that we're in, right, sometimes he wants us to learn a little bit more about ourselves too, huh? And so he's saying, hey, listen, I got a new thing I'm doing in your life right now. And listen, it's going to be hard, okay? You've never gone this way before, but you're going to learn some new things about yourself and you're going to learn some new things about me as I bring you into a closer intimacy with me. Like I said this morning, I'm preaching to myself. I'm letting you guys listen, but and this personal story is not to say it all compares to whatever it is that God is doing in your life right now. I don't know what is that new thing that he's got you embarking on right now that may be very hard, maybe very difficult, way more difficult than what I'm going to share with you right now. But for my wife and I, on December 1st, we took in a foster child. And anybody who's ever fostered any children, you know exactly what this is like. It's different. No matter how hard you think it's going to be, it's even harder than that. It disrupts your family. It's something completely different. Can't describe it. But all I'll tell you is that, you know, for my 8 children that I had the opportunity to train them, right, to raise them from the time they were born until where they are now. This little guy, when we got him, he was 19 months old. You know, it's sad to not to even tell you the deal that what this little boy has had to go through in this first 19 months of his life. But one of the things that I found is that, yeah, this is something new for my wife and I. And I'm actually learning a lot about myself that sometimes is unfortunate, right? Is one of the things I still remember almost every night, when I put Donovan to bed, I pray with him. And I actually ask the Lord to forgive me every night because of my lack of patience with him. And at the same time, the Lord has brought me to an amazing verse in 1 Timothy 1:16, where Paul says that God's mercy was shown to me so that I might show the perfect patience of Jesus Christ as an example to those who will believe after. God has me on this little road right now that I've never been on before. And one of the cool things is that I've learned about, man, what perfect patience Jesus has with us. Whatever is difficult for me with this little 20-month-old, how much more difficult was I to Jesus? And yet he showed me mercy. So brothers and sisters, I don't know what new thing God has. Maybe he's doing it right now. Maybe some of you can look back at moments in your life where God has done this. Or maybe there's just something right there on the horizon. It's coming up. And like I said, it may feel like you're going to die. Right? But God is saying, hey, listen, I'm doing a new thing. Why can't you see it? And listen, I know you might be afraid. I know you might be afraid of getting lost because you're kind of going on a way that you've never gone before. But I want you to know that I'm cutting a road. I'm providing a road through the desert. You see, often when God makes a promise, right? Here he promises the nation of Israel that he was going to deliver them. He was going to deliver them. God has made us promises too. And sometimes often when God makes a promise, we worry about the details, right? Or we may worry about the obstacles for the fulfillment of the promise. God replies, listen, don't worry about it, right? He says, I'm going to even make a road in the wilderness. I have resources, I have plans that you don't even know about. It's as if God is saying, hey, listen, leave the problems to me. Leave them to me. I've got this. In fact, we see here the second thing that's mentioned as far as these future acts, right, the Lord will do, this new thing that he's doing. He says, not only is he going to make roads in the wilderness, but he's actually going to make rivers in the desert. Water is a great necessity, isn't it? Without it, no life would be possible. There would actually be vast stretches of the earth's surface that would be desolate, dreary places, impassable to man. Won't be the case when God delivers his people. In a miraculous manner, God is going to cause rivers of water to flow in the desert for them. The word even that he uses here, right, in verse 19, that he will even make road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It points out what a surprise the creation of rivers in a roadway would be to the people of God. right? The one place that you would never expect to find a road, right, is in the wilderness. The one place you would never look to find rivers is in a desert. But that's where the Lord will create them. Right? Neither would they expect to find a path through the Red Sea. Right? But that's where the Lord did it. Right? Once again, the Lord is promising to free his people, to bring them home. Right? And it has all the earmarks of an even better Exodus. Right? For this one will not involve water from a rock. This one will involve rivers in a desert. God's saying, I'm doing a new thing here. Can you see it? Right? Sometimes we talked about this road, right? That if we've never been on it before, sometimes you're afraid you could get lost. But even if you know where you're going, right? It's easy to get dehydrated in the wilderness. Right? So that's why it's so important. God says, listen, not only am I cutting a road in the wilderness, but I'm also providing rivers in the desert. I'm providing everything that you're going to need to sustain you on your way back to me. Everything you're going to need. You don't expect to find a road in the wilderness or rivers in the desert, but there they are. The Lord has sent to Babylon. He has made a way. And he provides the water. Perhaps this morning the Lord is making you aware of something new that is springing forth in your life. You've left Babylon, right? He has sent to Babylon. He has delivered you, right? And now the wilderness lies before you. What is the wilderness of your life? Right? For all of us, it's different. Where is that place where you never expected a road to appear or rivers to flow? Maybe the Lord is asking you to go there. Maybe the road is one you've never wanted to take or ever thought you'd have to take. But maybe it's the way home to Him. Maybe it's the way to know Him as you've never known Him before. See, when you take a road that you've never taken before, right, you're trusting the Lord to sustain you along the way. Sometimes when we keep taking the roads that we've always taken, right, we tend to trust ourselves, don't we? It's just easier that way. But when we take a road that we've never taken before and we don't know that way, right, it causes us to trust Him. And as He sustains us, right, then that's when we get to see the power, right, and the grace that He pours out for us, which again draws you closer to Him. It's amazing how that works. But in order for all to happen, it's got to first start with a place you've never been before, right? It's got to be that place where you don't ever expect a road to be and you don't ever expect rivers to flow, but God wants you to go that way so that you can experience this power and His grace poured out for you. So that you can draw closer to Him. Now listen, perhaps taking a new road, right? The Lord creates means pursuing a career that maybe interests you or scares you, right? Instead of one that's safe and expected. Perhaps it means committing to some ministry here or elsewhere. See if the Lord makes a way. Perhaps taking a new road means immersing yourself in this fellowship rather than remaining on the fringes. Perhaps it means being open to some new relationship or to the restoration of an old one. And perhaps it means doing the hard but beautiful work of forgiving someone from your heart. Perhaps it means joining your Bible study. Perhaps it means looking at people in a new way. That's what it meant for Paul, right? I believe Paul had this portion on his mind, right? When he wrote 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17, he says this, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. I definitely think that it's hard. It's hard for us sometimes to look at our brothers and sisters in that way, in that light, knowing they listen. You know, look at them the way God looks at them. I was just listening to someone speak on Jesus' prayer, right? And his prayer, remember, was that we would be one. And he said, you know, it's not just saying, yeah, no, I accept that guy as my brother. I accept that lady as my sister. I know the believers. He goes, no. That his prayer that we would be one, just as he says, the Father and the Lord Jesus are one. So you think about the love that the Father has for Jesus and that Jesus has for his Father. Right? Is that the kind of love you have for each of your brothers and sisters? That's a hard road to take, isn't it? That's a hard one. Right? But I'm telling you, I think Paul had this in mind when he wrote that verse, right? That we have to look at each other the way God looks at us. So, brothers and sisters, maybe you need to hit the wilderness road. Maybe you're on the wilderness road. Okay? As you go, right, you're going to pass right through the heart of Jesus. I guarantee it. Okay? You'll find that he is the way, right? That he makes a way for sinners such as us, and that he provides living water for our thirsty souls. Okay? God has done some great things, yes. Okay? But he is just getting started. Okay? You ain't seen nothing yet. And so as Isaiah wrote prophetically to Israel, right, they were stuck in the desperate circumstances of captivity and exile. God wanted to put their eyes on the new work that he would do. So he began with a reminder, right, to not remember the former things. Okay? If they were stuck in the failure and sin and discouragement of the past, they would never go forward to the new things God had for them. Staying stuck in the past can keep us from the new things God wants us to do. If Israel stayed stuck in the discouragement of Babylon, they would never look for the new release of exile, from exile. Now listen to, just lastly, too, we can make an idol sometimes out of the new, right? We can err as the people of Athens did, who spent their time on nothing else but to either tell or hear some new thing, right? We see that in Acts chapter 17. We got to be careful. We don't want to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. But my encouragement to us this morning is this, but we can also err on the other side. And we can actually work against the new thing that God wants to do. Whatever wilderness lies ahead of you, know that the road is being cut. He has made a way for you. And he has resources and plans that you don't even know about that will sustain you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thanks again just for your grace. We're thankful for the times you've put us on these wilderness journeys so that we can grow closer to you. And so help us sometimes. Sometimes it's easy for us to glorify in the past. Sometimes we get kind of stuck in the way things that you've done, the way you've done things with us in our lives in the past, and we kind of miss out on what you want to do right now or even what you want to do in the future. And so I just pray that we would be open to the new things that you want to do in our lives. Lord, knowing that some of those things might be difficult. We may be going down a path we've never been before. And maybe we are afraid. Maybe we're concerned with the obstacles that might lay ahead of us. And but Lord, as we take that step of faith, Lord, thanks again for these promises that you have made a way for us, that you have provided resources for us to sustain us. And also that we thank you that the purpose of this is that we could grow in our intimacy with you, that you can bring us back to yourself and teach us a little more about ourselves and certainly teach us more about yourself. We are so thankful that you are the fairest of 10,000. We are so grateful for all that you've revealed to us about yourself already, and we look forward to the new things that we learn of thee in our walk with you. Again, thank you for your word. We ask for your help in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.